Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, mercifully give us faith to perceive that according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Linda had a wonderful mother. Her mother was the kind of mom who knew how to get on the floor with her baby girl and play with toys for hours. They played with dolls, they cooked together, they would play hide and seek. Linda's mother had a wonderful laugh. And every day when Linda got older, when she came home from school, her mother would be there, ready to listen to how Linda's day had gone. When Linda was 9 years old, she walked home from school just like normal, and her dad was there. She would tell me years later that her dad had a face that looked like a ghost on that afternoon. He was so white. She knew instantly that something was terribly wrong. After all, her dad was never home when she got home from school. It was always her mom. Where was her mom? Her dad sat her down on the sofa and took her hands. And he told Linda that her mother had been running some errands and had gotten into a terrible car accident. and that she was dead. How does a child experience abandonment? How does a child articulate loss? They have no adequate words. Well, none of us do, but they have even fewer words. Linda would have terrible nightmares. Nightmares in which her mother was taken from her. And then she would wake up crying only to realize that it was true, that her mother was gone. And her father would come into her room and clumsily pat her back and do his best. But he wasn't her mother. And some nights, she would have the nightmares and she would cry, and her father, the poor thing, was so exhausted trying to work and be both parents that he wouldn't even wake up. And so Linda would awaken in the night and no one would come. And the emptiness that she felt was horrible. I must confess to you that I have always struggled with this particular holiday, the day of the Ascension. Today we celebrate how Jesus was lifted up into heaven. And I get the fact that he had to go. I understand. But I've never fully been able to celebrate his leaving. Because I, for one, would prefer if he stuck around. I don't know about you. After the agony of the cross, when Jesus appeared in the resurrected form, I've always experienced him as being someone like Linda's mother, joyful, playful. The way that he sort of pops in and out with the disciples, it's almost like he is playing hide and go seek. And on the road to Emmaus, you can almost hear him laughing with them. He lets them touch him. He eats meals with them and cooks with them and plays with them. And why? Why could he not just keep on popping in on us? Wouldn't that be amazing? I would love to see his face. But instead, after 40 days of playfully appearing, he publicly, physically, in the presence of his loved ones, says goodbye and leaves. And I wish that he could have stayed. In his book, Learning to Fall, Philip Simons talks about what it was like at age 37 to be given a diagnosis of Lou Gehrig's disease. At age 37, Philip found out that he had a year or maybe two or three in which to live. He found out that he was going to have to say goodbye a lot sooner than he thought. And in his book, Philip writes about how, strangely, this horrible and very difficult diagnosis caused him to be more fully alive. From the moment in which he heard the news, every minute of his life, every hour, every moment spent with his family was precious to him. It was as if he woke up to the incredible gift of life and how it wouldn't last forever. And he became more alive because he had to say goodbye. You and I are going to have to say goodbye to the people we love at some point. Every single one of us. And it's the scariest part of loving. The knowledge that one day we will have to say goodbye to each other. And so most of us just kind of pretend it's never going to happen. But Jesus didn't do that. I think the reason he left us so publicly, so physically, was to give us an example of how to say goodbye to one another. Because we're all going to do it. Think of how fragile our bodies are, how precarious our lives are. Every night when you go to sleep, you really have to say goodbye. Every time you get on an airplane, every time you get in a car, you should say goodbye, because we never can be certain we're going to return to one another. It is not something we can take for granted. On Friday, Monica McKenzie, our former parish administrator, her brother at age 57 died all of a sudden. He had to go in for emergency bypass surgery, and we're not sure. Maybe it was a blood clot. We don't know, but he was gone, just gone. And he was young. Life is so fragile. And we must remember that it's important to say goodbye, not later, but now, before it's too late. And so Jesus gives us a living example of how to do it. First of all, Jesus takes his loved ones away, apart. It says in the Gospel of Luke, he takes them up a hill outside of Jerusalem, a place where they can look at one another and focus, where they're not busy with all kinds of other things. And he looks at them. And he tells them the truth that he's going away, and he gives them instructions for how he wants them to live. And then he gives them his own spirit. He tells them he loves them and he blesses them. He takes his loved ones aside. He tells them the truth and that he loves them. He gives them his spirit, and he blesses them. And every single one of us ought to do the same with all of the people we love, not later, but now. It took Linda years. But gradually, the nightmares that she had changed into dreams about remembering her mother, into dreams of thanksgiving. And Linda grew up to become a kindergarten teacher because her mother's spirit of playfulness lived on in her. And every time she gets down on the floor with those children and plays with them, her mother is alive and with her. Her mother is with her. That is the greatest mystery about death and about these goodbyes, is that the spirit of the person you love lives in you. In fact, I think in some ways, after we have said goodbye to someone we love, we change and become more like them. We take them inside of ourselves. Look at the disciples. They were such bumblers in the Gospels. It wasn't until Jesus actually physically left and granted them his Spirit that they become these incredible ministers of God. And I don't think they would have fully reached their potential if he had stayed around. But when he left, they took him inside of themselves and they became more like him. And so how do we say goodbye? Take the people you love aside. Tell them you love them. That if anything happens to you, you are grateful for the life that you've had with them. Give them the gift of your Spirit and bless them. And yes, you can bless not just us priests, every one of you. You can bless your loved ones. Life is so fragile. Human existence is so finite. But it is a gift that we can give to our loved ones to tell the truth and to say goodbye, knowing that we will live on in them and trusting that one day we'll see them again. Maybe that, too, is another reason why our Lord ascended into heaven. Because he needed to reserve us a seat and let us know that he waits there for us. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, especially Mike Rady, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud.
Don, Jonathan, June, Diana, Carol, Jackie, Craig, and
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud.
Elizabeth, Cynthia, Jackie.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, Sudan, the Central African Republic, and the schoolgirls who have been abducted in Nigeria. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
My family, please come in.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we thank you for this day on which our Lord ascended into heaven. We ask you to help us to cherish every moment of our lives and to say goodbye so that our loved ones will know we live on in them. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning and welcome. Welcome, everybody. If you're new to the congregation, please raise your hand and we can greet you and bring you a gift bag, but you have to hold your hand up so we can find you. Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here today. Glad to see you all. I want to say a special thank you. We had three homeless families which lived here at the cathedral all week with a lot of children this time, and the children were great readers. Just last night I saw Gloria Miller making cookies and decorating them with the children. So thank you to all of you who slept here at the church to keep the families safe. Thank you for those of you who cooked food. Thank you for those of you who played with the children. We're grateful for this beautiful program and grateful to be part of it. Next Sunday is the third great holiday of the church year, which is the Pentecost. I've always had a theory that, you know, Pentecost is equal in grandeur to Christmas and Easter, but Hallmark Card has just never been able to make anything of it. I think it's because it can't be tamed. It's so wild. But you're supposed to wear red because their Holy Spirit comes down in flames of fire, right? So wear red next Sunday. We're going to have Bishop Kaiser here, and he's going to confirm a bunch of people. In fact, we split them in half. So we're going to do all of our teenagers and young folks at 9 o'clock and all of our adults at 11, and that way the services won't go on too long. It should be a joyful time. We also have 12 birthday cakes for the birthday of the church. 12 birthday cakes after the 9 and another 12 after the 11. So you better come because we're going to have a lot of cake. We need your help. The parish nurses are in Tolliver Hall after the service. If you have any medical questions at all, please feel free to visit with them. That's part of their ministry. This afternoon at 5 p.m. is the Pilgrimage Anthem Concert and English Tea Reception. Tickets are available after the service at the door, and there are 45 tickets left for the tea. So if you want to come, be sure to grab a ticket. And the concert, of course, is open, and we can fill a lot of more people in here. But the tea only fit 45 more spaces. Our Sunday school teachers have passed out a survey, which is in the back of the church. If you are a parent and you have children that either are in Sunday school or are not in Sunday school, we'd love for you to fill that out so we can learn more about what you like. Tomorrow we'll be cooking a meal at Sulzbacher, the homeless shelter. If you can volunteer, we need your help. We always need as many cooks and servers as possible. 2 o'clock, come to Sulzbacher and join us. And last but not least, after next Sunday, after Pentecost, we will have our summer schedule, which means that we have a service at 8 and a service at 10:30. So don't forget, because if you come at 11, you'll find that the sermon's over, okay? So not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, June 15th, we begin with services at 8 and 10:30. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you love the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. To the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with John and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Now let us send forth our lay Eucharistic minister who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to the glory of God the Father, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.